Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Current sports is live in your ear on this Friday, or as I like to say, Friday, March 15th, 2019. And today is a very special day in the world of Michigan State basketball, seeing as though the postseason is officially underway for your Spartans. That's right. As I speak right now, the Big Ten tournament is underway with Michigan State on the hardwood at the United Center. The Big Ten tournament, folks, in Chicago, the Spartans taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes. The Buckeyes doing away with Indiana yesterday, setting up this matchup. So, I am sure right now you probably are watching the Big Ten tournament. If you are watching it, I hope you got it on mute now. Just let us be your update as you're watching the game, all right? Who cares about the play-by-play guys, all right? Have WKAR's current sports lead you through one-of-a-kind commentary based on what we're seeing in real time, all right? Right now, because we'll be doing this multiple times throughout this hour, I want to go behind the glass right now because, Connor, you've been watching this more closely than I. I've been prepping for the show, and I've seen a few plays here and there. But this is always a bit odd for me because this has happened a few times during my 6 years here at WKAR where I'm live on the air and it's March and Michigan State is playing while I'm trying to do a show. So it makes it kind of hard for me to talk about the game, but I do have it streaming on my laptop. Your stream is much more up-to-date behind the glass. What is the score? How much time left? Can you give me some stats as well? What's going on, man?
All right, we're at 17-17 apiece. Your game kind of got off to a slow start. Both teams kind of feeling each other out. From the field, Michigan State is leading that area, 57% from the field. Three-point shooting has not been great for either teams, 33%. Michigan State 1-for-3. Ohio State 3-for-9. Ohio State is leading the in turnovers. They have 7. Michigan State has 5. Some good bright spots. Nick Ward coming in, hit his first shot, despite the fact that he's got some padding or a brace on that hand, so he looked good.
And he's 2-of-2. Yeah. 2-of-2 from the floor right now. Hasn't missed a bucket. So.
And he also had some good defensive adjustments. And then just recently, actually, we saw Gabe Brown check in, which was a little bit surprising. But, still early in the game. It feels like the last times that they played where it was just kind of real close for the first half. I think Michigan State will go on a run. It looks like they're a little bit more comfortable right now.
Yeah, looking at the box score right now, also want to note that Foster Lawyer, he also came in and hit a three-pointer. He's got 3 points for Michigan State so far. Matt McQuaid, 2-of-3 from the floor for 4 points. He is right now tied when it comes to the leading scorer for Michigan State. He's tied with 2 others, and Xavier Tillman, who's 2-of-4 from the floor, and also, as I mentioned, Nick Ward, who is also 2-of-2 from the floor, has not missed a bucket yet. So, again, throughout this hour, we will update you on the Spartans and Buckeyes. Fear not. We'll have a lot of dialogue centered on that. I'll do my best to watch what's taking place while also trying to hold down the fort and host this show. Going to be a bit weird doing that, but we'll get through it. And also, in just a moment, in about 10 minutes, we will welcome to the show Eric Woodyard. Utah Jazz digital sports reporter for the Desert News. He's going to be calling into the show. We'll be calling him and getting him on the show via phone to talk about all of the drama that has taken place with Russell Westbrook and the fans out in Utah. All right? And there's a bigger conversation I think we need to have when it comes to fan etiquette in professional sports. All right? And then on the back end of the show, we hope to have Johnny Lewis for another edition of Fit Fridays. And we will, of course, have Reflection Friday for you, where we will look at the week that has been here on Current Sports and Beyond, bring to you some of our favorite moments, and maybe hit on a few stories that we have not gotten the chance to highlight yet this week. All right? If you would like to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News and watch the live stream. And you can also tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, again, folks, the Big Ten men's basketball tournament underway out in Chicago inside of the United Center. I'm watching right now courtesy of my live stream on my laptop. And Michigan State has a one-point lead, 18-17, with just under 7 minutes left to play in the first half. All right, and I just watched Matt McQuaid drive to the bucket and get fouled as he'll go to the line for two. He's hit his first free throw, actually, so I'm behind, Connor says, by a little bit here. So Michigan State up 19-17 against Ohio State. Again, we'll keep you updated on that game as the hour proceeds. Also, the game is not played on a computer, but ESPN's prediction model does give more than a little credence to Michigan State basketball's chances of making it to its Elite Eight or Final Four or even a national championship under Tom Izzo. ESPN's College Basketball Power Index gives Michigan State the fifth best odds of reaching Minneapolis for the Final Four at 28.8%, Virginia at 61%, Gonzaga at 52%, Duke at 50%, and North Carolina at 28% are all rated just ahead of the Spartans. Now, Michigan State leapfrogged North Carolina in its chances to reach both the championship game and win the title. MSU is ranked fourth in both at 14% and 5.5% respectively. So let's hope that technology is spot on when it comes to this prediction. Right, Spartan fans? All right, folks, want to give you guys an update when it comes to local girls high school hoops. DeWitt beats Coldwater 51-41 in the regional final. Senior guard Maddie Peterson finished with 21 points despite not being 100% after breaking a tailbone last week in the district semifinal against Grand Ledge. Coldwater eliminated in the regional final for the second year in a row, and also Hazlitt topping Jackson Northwest 51-43. En route to a regional title. Big ups to the Pomona Westphalia boys basketball team remaining undefeated after topping Erie Mason, advancing now to the Division III state championship game. How about that? Congratulations to head coach Luke Pohl, who, you know, ever since I've been a reporter here in the area, you know, covering high school sports, Luke has been one of my favorite coaches. I absolutely love his personality. And you talk about a fiery competitor. That competitiveness just bleeds on to his team, doesn't it? His players truly embrace that. And speaking of embracing, Pomona Westphalia actually embraced the revenge Tour title. That was the mantra of last year's Michigan football program. Luke Pohl, when he heard about the revenge tour that the Michigan Wolverines were on, Luke Pohl thought, hey, that'd be kind of cool for us to get a bit of revenge from what happened last year against some of our in-conference teams that we go against. So, awesome stuff. It's working. We'll see if the revenge tour can pay off into a state championship. That'd be really cool, right? As they will face Ironwood tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. for the Division III title. Also, we'll give you an update. We'll probably look up this one as well, Connor. I know that Okemos will be taking on U of D Jesuit at the Breslin Center because, again, that's where all of these state tourney games are taking place right now. Traffic is crazy right now at Michigan State's campus. But, again, Michigan State, Okemos will be taking on U of D Jesuit for a chance at a state championship. We'll keep you updated on that one as well. All right. Lakers and Pistons, both teams looking to rebound after recent losses. The Pistons coming off back-to-back 20-point losses to the Brooklyn Nets, 105-75, the final in that embarrassment. And against Miami, 108-74, the final in that embarrassment. The Pistons currently sit at the seventh seed in the NBA's Eastern Conference standings with 15 games left in the season. The Lakers topped the Pistons in the first meeting on January 9th, 113-100. The Pistons look to even up the series. 14 games left in the season. The Lakers sit as the 11th seed and look to really fall out of the playoff picture. The Lakers aren't making the playoffs. This would make it the first time that all-star forward LeBron James misses the playoffs since 2005, which was his second year in the NBA. Can you believe that? All right, the Detroit Tigers and the Tampa Bay Rays in action, in spring training action, I should say, for Major League Baseball. That game's first pitch was at 1:05 right now, and a quick score update when it comes to the Detroit Tigers, it is 0-0 in the top of the first. So that one literally just now getting underway. The Tigers tied the Boston Red Sox. You can tie in spring training action in the majors. The Tigers ended up tying the Bo Sox yesterday, a score of 4-4. All right. Okay, keeping it pushing here. The Detroit Red Wings will, they ended up losing to the Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday. That was a score of 5-4. The Wings now move to 24-37-10, a very Oogle record there. And the Cleveland Browns made many big moves this offseason, including signing controversial running back Kareem Hunt to a 1-year contract. They will only get Hunt for half of those games, as the NFL announced today that Hunt would receive an 8-game suspension for his off-field actions, including a violent incident at a hotel that was captured on video and led to his release from the Chiefs in the middle of the year last season. Hunt will not appeal the punishment handed down by the league, advising the NFL, quote, he accepts responsibility for his conduct and the discipline that has been imposed, end quote. And we profiled that story when it came through. Kareem Hunt was caught on video shoving a young woman. He even was seen on camera kicking her at one point. Just very, very disturbing stuff. And we knew a suspension would be handed down. Okay, folks, that does it for your quick hit headliners. Again, join the hour by picking up the phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. right, folks. Again, this is a bit of a weird hour of current sports, seeing as though Michigan State men's basketball is underway. Game one for the Spartans this weekend at the Big Ten tournament at the United Center in the Shy. And Michigan State right now, you know, my live stream here that I'm streaming on my laptop is a bit slower than you guys behind the glass, Connor, seeing as though you guys aren't streaming. You all are watching it on television right now. I wish we had a TV in here. That'd be really nice. But anyway, can you give me an update on what's happening right now, Connor, on that game?
All right, quick update. Foster Lawyer, for all the times this year we were like, he seems to be a little behind, he isn't ready. Foster Lawyer is on fire. He is 3-for-3 from the three-point line. Right now, the score is 26-25 Michigan State. A little bit before Foster Lawyer hit that third three-pointer, there was, in my opinion, a very soft flagrant called on Nick Ward.
Really?
It counted the basket. He had gotten a rebound underneath the basket. He had three Ohio State players around him. And you know how they tell big man, when you get the rebound, you know, you pop your elbows out? Well, he had got the rebound. He moved like he was trying to move. He was trying to step into a pass, and he hit an Ohio State player. It looked like the Ohio State player might have embellished a little bit, but they reviewed it, gave Nick Ward a flagrant. He has two fouls. But okay. Otherwise, for Nick, it's a pretty decent comeback. I mean, he doesn't look like he's hampered all that much. He's rotating on defense.
Again, 2 of 2 for 5 points. He hasn't missed from the field, so that's good. You just want to get Nick Ward a few minutes because he hasn't played in so darn long.
Yeah.
You know, just get back in the game rhythm. Again, you heard what I said, and I'm sticking to it. I don't care if Michigan State wins or loses this game. They need rest right now. Who cares about the Big Ten tourney championship at the end of the day? We all know who the real champs of the Big Ten are. What matters is what happens come the Big Dance. When that selection show happens on Sunday, game time. But this is good that Nick is getting back into some kind of rhythm after all of the time that he's sat out.
Another interesting point is that it appears that they're kind of deviating from their usual approach with Cassius. He's getting a little bit more rest, which is I think it's a good move.
That's great.
Right now Cassius has got 2 rebounds, 1 assist, no points. But I mean, it seems like they're doing this just for his benefit. And I mean, Michigan State's still up with him. I personally would like them to win this game because I want to see the players get into some sort of like postseason rhythm. But after that, do what you got to do.
I could care less about this game. Well, that's so bad. I care. This is my job. Again, I went to Michigan State as well. Yeah, you care about it, but I don't care if they win or lose it, all right? At the end of the day, it's all about the Big Dance. We'll keep you updated on this game that I apparently don't care about as the hour proceeds.
Assistants and your engineer care, Al. Don't worry. We're not going to let the good people down.
Yeah, we can't let the people. That's all that matters, the people. Care about this game, all right? And that's all that matters. We'll keep you updated on this matchup throughout the hour. And thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your hour, knowing that this game is taking place. All right, what I want to do right now is get to our first guest of today's current sports, because you know I've been wanting to have him on this week because there's some interesting storylines taking place in the NBA, arguably none bigger this week than what is going on between fans and Mr. Russell Westbrook, star guard of the NBA's Oklahoma City Thunder. He was actually caught on camera, having an interaction with two fans in the stands in which He alleges that these two fans had some racist things to say about him, and you know he's caught on camera going at it. You know, there's some profanity that said. He's caught right on camera. You know, this interaction between these two fans. He defended himself in the post game presser and said that there were some racist things that were said from the stands. He didn't like it, and he doesn't regret it. Russell Westbrook was also involved in an interaction with a young fan, this fan, I don't know, 10 years old, something like that, earlier this season where he had the basketball. It was a dead play, and Russ was standing out of bounds, and this young fan basically kind of like shoves Russ. Russ handled it very smooth this time around and basically went to the young man's father and said, look, man, just make sure, you know, you keep an eye on your kid, and, you know, that's not cool, you know, and kept it moving from there. the man who took the video of Russell Westbrook having this, you know, the first, well, the interaction that I just talked about with the two fans in the stands out in Utah, is a former sports reporter from right here in the state of Michigan, from Flint Town, who is now the Utah Jazz digital sports reporter for the Deseret News. Eric Woodyard is the man who took this video, and his Twitter has been blowing up. I've seen this video everywhere. Heck, I'm in the barbershop, and I think Fox Sports, they had a snippet of the video being played there as a panel debates, you know, fan interaction in professional sports, specifically in NBA games. So right now, I want to invite Eric to the show right now to talk about that moment and so much more. First off, Eric, how you doing, my man?
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing, man?
Always blessed, brother, and thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. Eric, I just want you to take us to that moment. You know, when you're sitting there doing your job on the sidelines and you see this interaction between these fans and Russell Westbrook, just what's going through your mind at that moment?
So actually what happened, man, is from both of those videos, I had an anonymous fan submit both of those to me. I was at the game covering the game.
Oh, really?
It was actually fans there, yeah, and they submitted it to me anonymously and allowed me to get full rights and use it, you know. So what actually happened, it dated back to last year's playoffs. You guys know I moved from Flint to Salt Lake City last year. And throughout the playoffs, Russell Westbrook was getting into it with fans. And he was telling all of us in the media, you know, that these fans were being racist and that they were, you know, basically getting out of line. You know, he wouldn't tolerate it. You know, he went off on a couple fans. So we covered that last year, you know. So when he came back this year, it was already tension. We knew, you know, so we was paying attention to him and the fans. I know I was particularly. And I tweeted something out, like, as soon as the game started, like, he was getting into it with fans. And probably about, like, in the second quarter, man, I checked my email and an anonymous fan submitted the video and told me I can use it and have full rights to show Russ right in the moment because we was in the press area. So we put that right there, and obviously everybody jumped on it, you know, and asked Russ about it afterwards. And then, you know, he got on us a little bit and was saying, like, you know, the footage before was what's important, you know. So then again, man, lo and behold, you know, a couple days later, another anonymous fan submitted that video to me from 2018 playoffs from last year when Russ was talking, him being called the boy. And it's crazy because I really think, you know, that's starting a serious discussion, and it started something, you know, that's very impactful not only here in Utah but in other arenas as well. But, yeah, so both of those, that's how that came about, really, from being in the right place at the right time and getting out here and people trusting me with something like that. So that's how it came about.
Definitely. And you know what? When it comes to the video that showed a fan calling Russell Westbrook a boy, which is clearly racial, this morning, the source that informed you of that video, the news broke. I saw that I guess the Utah Jazz and owner Gil Miller has addressed it and said that fan is now permanently banned from the arena. Is that correct?
Yes. So they banned the first guy already. They banned him shortly after they did some investigation and decided to ban him. And then once the second video that I posted came out, they did another investigation. They banned him as well today. So that was the breaking news that just happened today. Yeah, owner Gail Miller, she addressed the crowd yesterday. The Jazz played Minnesota, and that was the first game back since, you know, the incident on Monday. And she addressed the crowd, and, you know, just it was a very teachable moment for people here. And it was also cool because they really stressed the code of conduct in the league, you know, how to behave themselves. And they had been doing it before, but, you know, they really made an emphasis to really, really clean it up. And I think, you know, before, a lot of players would come here and they would say how tough the crowd was, but it was never no proof. So now when you get the footage, it's right there in your face. You know, it's just like, you know, with anything else, you know, police brutality, they've been doing all this and it was talked about for years, but now with cameras and social media, we're seeing it. So that was just another situation in that. And I think it will be some positive changes to come out of this, and the Jazz are having no zero tolerance for fans getting out of line.
Definitely. So Eric, the 2018 postseason video, you know, with this fan calling Russ a boy, that happened again last year. So the video where he's having an interaction with, you know, with the two fans in the stands, the other video, was that from this week or was that also from last season?
No, the one where he was cussing out the guys, that was from this week. That was Monday.
Ah, so that's recent. That happened this week.
So
okay.
That from that interaction, that sparked the other video to come out as well. So, and both of the sources that I had trusted me with those videos, and I released it instantly. You know, and I just reported it. I just did a good job reporting. I didn't really put my feelings into it, and I think people can respect it because I don't have to say anything. I can just report the facts, and you see it right there in your face. So how are you going to react to that? And I think they reacted the way that they had to. You know, they had to send a message, and Donovan Mitchell as well. I think he can kind of be the change here because he's so engaged in the community. I mean, this guy is at gas stations. He's at 7-Elevens. You know, he's a normal person here, so... And as great as you know he can be as a basketball player, I think he's a better player, person off the court. He addressed the situation immediately, and I think he can be a spark of change here in Utah as well. You know, so I think it's going to be some positives that come out of it, honestly.
And I want to ask you this, Eric, and I think it's important to note in the context of this conversation that you are an African-American sports reporter out in Utah. So
yeah.
With that being said, Eric, I want to ask you, I mean, during your time as an NBA reporter out in Utah, in that area, have you ever witnessed any racism at games as a reporter? Have you noticed that before?
Yeah, I won't say I've witnessed racism. Everybody here is really, really nice, honestly. I mean, I'm from born and raised in Flint, Michigan, so it's a total different culture shock as far as them not understanding some of the things that, you know, black culture and things like that, you know. But as far as racial, I haven't witnessed any racial. Said, oh, I would be lying if I said I did, but yeah. I'm in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City is more, you know, it's more diverse probably than other places. And it's not saying it's diverse, but it's more diverse than other parts of Utah. So my experience, you know, as an African American is probably different because of my position. I can't speak for somebody who probably just moves here. You know, I'm around players all the time. I'm around basketball, so naturally basketball attracts other African Americans. So I'm going to play pickup ball and stuff like that. I probably see more African Americans than normal because of, you know, the kind of what I attract. So I think my experience is probably a whole lot different than everybody else's. And I travel everywhere with the team too, so it's different. But just culturally, it's much different, obviously, than Flint, Michigan, you know. But I haven't experienced racism. I can't say that.
Now when it comes to you know, what you've seen from fans in the arena out there in Utah, you know, home of the Jazz. With these two Russell Westbrook incidences aside, have you noticed any other incidences at that arena when it comes to fan interaction with the players?
Just the players. Kevin Durant was here, and he had I wrote about this earlier in the year. He had a situation where he was yapping off with fans, and Steph Curry, and a lot of players say that it's very intense there. I haven't heard a lot of racist, you know, people saying that. I've heard former players say that, but. A lot of the current players, they just talk about how intense the fans are because, mm-hmm. I mean, they're passionate about the Jazz, man. I mean, this is it's the biggest show in town. They got a soccer team, but, I mean, basketball is, you know, that's their baby. So, I mean, you know, it is a very, very passionate fan base, but, you know, it's not like you just hear racism every single day. I think, you know, it's going to be some bad apples in every bunch, you know, but I can't just, you know, categorize this bunch as racist, you know, because
right.
I think they are passionate about the team, man. And it shows because, you know, the players feed off of that as well. So, you know, I can't sit up here and say that.
Definitely. And that's something that, you know, Gail Miller stressed when she did address the crowd ahead of the Jazz and Timberwolves game on Thursday and said that, you know, you can't generalize our entire fan base based on the actions of a few idiots, basically. And you know, Eric, you know, this has opened up a big conversation nationally now when it comes to whether or not the NBA should do something or do more to protect its players at games. And this is, again, this is not the first run in when it comes to Russ. I remember when the fan, you know, tried to take like a video of Russell in the tunnel and Russ ended up slapping his hand away. You know, Russ has had many of these incidences, right? So do you think this is a thing or a problem in the National Basketball Association that something needs to be changed?
Yeah, I think definitely. And that's why I also been so passionate about this story, because I think, you know, this needs to happen in other places too. It needs to be zero tolerance for racism. Now, I'm all for healthy heckling and having fun, because like the Philly crowd, man, they're fun. You know, they get at you. I enjoy that. That's because the players feed off of that. Even back in the day at the Palace, you know, I would be there, hearing fans going off on Kobe and saying all this and that, he would drop 45 on them, though, and fuel them. You know, so I'm all for that. I'm all for it. That's part of basketball, trash talk, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, trying to get an advantage. But, you know, once it crosses the line of you calling somebody a boy, and we know what that means, that's when it's going too far, when it goes to that point. But as far as just the healthy, you know, interaction of heckling and all that, I'm all for that. You know, that's part of basketball. That's the fabric of the game right there. So
definitely. You know, Eric, there's a clear line, right? You know.
Yeah, it's a line. It's a clear line.
It's a clear line. You know what's fun banter and what's a normal heckling at a game, and you know when it's gone too far. So with that being said, Eric, those who do cross that clear line, what do you think should happen to those fans?
They should be banned. You know, it should be zero tolerance. Just like what the Jazz did, they set the tone that moving forward, you should be banned forever if you do that. You can't come to another game. You know, because we're not tolerating racism. We're not tolerating that, especially when most of the superstars and the stars in the game are African American. So, you know, they shouldn't have to go through that. You know, especially in 2019, that's done. We're hip to the game now. You know, we see what's going on, and if you sit next to somebody, you should hold them accountable as well. You know, you should call them, you know, call security and, you know, report it as well. So I think definitely it should be zero tolerance and fans should be banned.
Definitely. All right, Eric, before we get you out of here, I'm wondering what the response from the Utah Jazz players and maybe, you know, the coaches, have they said anything concerning what has happened this week?
Yeah, it's been an open dialogue all week, you know, and I think the players, you know, they expressed their concerns, you know, and they were bagging up Russell Westbrook, you know, particularly Donovan Mitchell. You know, he said he just started a foundation that's called Spider Cares, and, you know, he's going to really start investigating racial tension at games and things like that. And I like the way he stood up, you know, immediately. He took action as well. Rudy Gobert, Jay Crowder, all those guys, you know, they were all happy, you know, that they're trying to jump on the issue immediately and not wait. And doing something as severe as banning the fans forever. You know, I think that's a big thing.
Love it, man. Eric, well, you keep up the outstanding work out there, man. And real quick, man, how are you liking being a reporter in the NBA? That's got to be really cool, right?
Oh, man, I love it, man. It's a lot of work. You know, you have to be on your P's and Q's at all times. But I think everything that I learned back home in Michigan and Flint, everything I did, it prepared me for where I'm at now. You know, and I'm more so proud, man, of anything of my Flint boys that's in the league balling out, man. You know, Miles Bridges, and, you know, we got Kyle Kuzma and Monte Morris, and, you know, those are my guys. I covered them in high school, so I get so excited to see them doing their thing, man. And that's honestly just as fun as traveling everywhere, seeing them balling out, and me, you know, being in my position as well. So we all represent the city right now.
Yeah, the Flint love is strong. Have you gotten a chance to chat with Miles this season?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I was there for All-Star Weekend and interviewed him a couple times, and, I talked to his mom and stuff, and that's my guy forever, man. You know, that's to watch him grow up. So it's fun to see him doing what he's doing. And, you know, we got Terry Armstrong coming up next. He's going to the University of Arizona next year. I just seen him when I was in Phoenix. And it's just talent after talent that's coming, man. I've been checking out the Spartans, man. Shout out to Cassius Winston. That boy is balling out, man.
Isn't he? He's special. Cassius is certainly a special player. All right, Eric. Again, you can follow Eric's work on Twitter. Just follow him at @E_Woodyard. That's WOODYARD. Eric, thank you so much for coming on, man. We have to get you back on soon, all right?
Man, no problem, man. Anytime. You keep up the good work, too, man.
I'm trying. Just trying to pay the rent, baby. Eric Woodyard, folks. Again, Eric of the Utah Jazz's Deseret News. He is a digital reporter for the Jazz for the Deseret News. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll give you an update on what is taking place in Chicago right now on the United Center hardwood in the Big Ten tournament. We'll talk Spartans and Buckeyes when we come back, and then later on we'll have Johnny Lewis for another edition of Fit Fridays. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Oh. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. A brief postscript on our first guest on this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. If you are just now tuning in, just finished up a chat with Eric Woodyard of the Deseret News. He is a digital sports reporter for the Utah Jazz at the Deseret News. And Eric, he has been in the news a lot. His work has been in the news a lot this week due to the Russell Westbrook and fan interaction story. Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder during a game against the Utah Jazz earlier this week was caught on camera having some choice words for two fans in the stands who allegedly, according to Russell Westbrook, noted a few racial comments to him. One of those being, you know, get on your knees like you used to, something like that. And earlier this season, he had an interaction with a young fan. You know, again, he's standing next to this young, you know, fan. If I had to guess, he's like around 10 years old. And, you know, the 10-year-old kid like pushes Russ and, you know, yeah, he's like, come on, man, really? He goes to the kid's father and says, really? You know, just kind of keep an eye on your kid, man. Come on, you can't be doing that. Russ in the past, he's had an interaction with, you know, a fan who tried to take cell phone video of him. I don't know if words were said during that part, but Russ didn't like the phone in his face, and he slapped the hand out his slapped the camera out his face, basically. And, you know, it's been incident after incident. And again, today news broke because Eric posted video given to him by an anonymous source, a video basically of a fan in the stands calling Russell Westbrook boy, which is clearly racist. And news broke this morning that the Utah Jazz have decided to ban that fan for life. So, yeah, he'll never be able to attend another Utah Jazz game in Utah. So just a lot of drama, and Eric just basically kind of took us through that, and, you know, you heard Eric's side of things. This happens in professional sports. Heckling happens. You know, you're going to have a few idiots out there that challenge athletes, that pick at athletes, that try to get under athletes' skin, so on and so forth. I'm all for that, just like you heard Eric say. I'm all for that, but at the end of the day, there's a clear line from just normal heckling at a game, and there's a line, you know when you've crossed that line, all right? It's common sense, and it's pretty clear when you've crossed that line. And if you do cross that line, there has to be some consequences. You just can't just pop off at the mouth and say anything. When you do cross that line, when you say something that's racist, when you say something that's sick and derogatory, that gets too personal, there should be consequences, and that fan should suffer the consequences of not having the privilege of attending maybe another game there, or maybe suspended for a while. But there needs to be punishment to know that you just can't say anything while at a game. No matter how much you may dislike that athlete, at the end of the day, these are human beings we're talking about, all right? So I'm totally with Eric there, and I'm sure the NBA will be looking at that further during the offseason. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Real quick, you heard what Eric had to say. Connor Mathis, engineer of the Monday-Wednesday Current Sports, and sometimes Friday as well. He's in on this Friday with Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio out. Connor, you heard what Eric had to say concerning what has happened this week with Russell Westbrook. Do you think some changes need to be made in the NBA or in professional sports in general?
I think the NBA just needs to come out and be a little bit more aggressive about their fan policy. I think most fans who go to NBA games, they're well behaved. I mean, there's fan heckling. There's nothing wrong with heckling. I think when you have people at the on the court side, or really close in, feel emboldened by, oh, the NBA is going to protect us, we can do whatever we want, I think that mentality is where you run into problems. I think Russell Westbrook has been in the right both times. I think he handled the kid touching him while he was on the court. I think he handled that kid pretty well. Kind of just saying, look, that's not cool. You can't do that. But not like blowing a gasket. Now, when a grown man or a grown woman, for that matter, is saying awful things to you, saying racial things to you, that's a different story. I think he was more than justified in going off on them because, you know, sometimes you have to put people back into their place. Like, you're a fan. You are a guest at that arena. You cannot be doing these things and can't expect that there's going to be this magical shield over you, that you are above the players, that you're beyond consequence. So I think Russ has a very good point. I think the NBA as a whole needs to come out and say, look, if you are close to this, you can't tolerate the some of these remarks. That's number one. I think the NBA is pretty crystal clear on that. But I think the area they need to come out and actually be strong and say, look, this is not acceptable, is if you are a courtside or you are close to the basketball court, you have to understand that there are certain things that you just cannot do. You are a guest. Right. You are not above the player. You are a guest. The players are entertaining you, yes, but that does not make them less than you. That does not make them subhuman. So I don't think there's anything wrong in Russ's approach. I think with both situations, he handled them the way he should have.
I agree with you to with the exception of this. When Russ was caught on camera earlier this week, and he's looking up at this couple, right? I guess they're husband and wife, and they're in the stands, and they were clearly heckling Russ, and it clearly went too far. Russell's response of "I'm going to bleep you up, you and your wife."
That's a little bit too far.
That's too far. I mean, you don't threaten a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
That's the only part that I did not agree with Russell Westbrook. And you know, afterwards, he was asked about that in the context of saying that I'm gonna bleep you up, you and your wife. He went on to say that, you know, I've never, he says, I'll just read the direct quote here. Quote, as for beating up his wife, I've never put my hand on a woman. I never will. Once he said the comment, his wife repeated the same thing to me. That's kind of how it started. So with the exception of that, I understood where Russell was coming from because, again, certain things you say.
You just can't.
When you're crossing the mm-hmm. line. You just can't. Exactly, Connor. You just can't.
I think, you know, there you get caught. You kind of get caught in the heat of the moment, too. I mean, of course, not endorsing what he said. That's, you
right.
know, that's unacceptable.
That was his emotion spilling.
That's emotion. I mean,
yeah.
My point of view is I'm saying he's justified in his anger, but again, taking it to that level is a little bit too far.
Yeah, I agree. But I totally get the frustration from Russ, and I think any fan that pops off at the mouth and says something like that needs to be escorted out of the arena immediately.
You know, so, that was the other question I had. Where the heck have the stadium security been during these things?
I don't know.
I mean, there's been a couple times, too, where it hasn't just been let's not pretend this is like a Russell Westbrook problem. There's been other players that have had this problem, too, with fans saying awful things to them that go beyond the usual, quote-unquote, friendly sports heckling. Mm-hmm. Where is the security? The stadium security. I mean, you saw the owners have James Dolan in New York, where they have no problem throwing out a fan for talking smack about the owner.
And James Dolan, and that's the thing I wanted to compare it to,
like,
next time.
Come on now,
James Dolan, what he did to a fan that basically said sell the team. How sensitive are you, James Dolan? Especially you are in the New York market where heckling is an art. And I have to tell you, when I went back and I heard and I watched the video of that moment, that fan was so polite. And
exactly.
If there's anything as a polite heckler, it's that guy right there. He said, yeah, sell the team. And he said, what'd you say to me? I said, I think you should, sell the team, Mr. Dolan. And he basically said, Mr. Dolan, I think you should,
yeah,
should sell
no,
the team.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I heard that story initially, I'm like, oh, he probably cussed him out. He probably called
right.
him a bum. Like, oh, I'm expecting something. I'm like, no, this is the most tame heckle I've ever heard.
So tame.
James Dolan, who, I don't know if you saw the clip, doesn't even know the players on his own team.
Right, right, exactly.
He's throwing this dude out. Like, come on.
If the owners
are that sensitive to like someone talking smack about them, Do the same thing for your players. Where's your security?
Where is I don't understand it. And James, you know, he kind of went over to him and said, oh, okay, well, you know, sell the team. That's what you said. Oh, sell the team. Okay, well, you know, enjoy watching it on television. Well, enjoy watching your team on television. I'm sitting there saying, what? That was a crime in itself. So there's that extreme on the other side of things as well. Like, come on, man, you know, have some rhino skin. Develop some thick skin here, James. Your franchise hasn't been good for a long, long time. What do you expect from fans? All right? Fans want to see success. And saying and yelling, sell the team, is not anything to, you know, that doesn't warrant you banning a fan from MSG for life. That makes no sense to me at all. So there you have that. All right, let's hear our final break. When we come back, we will have Johnny Lewis live here on the air from the West Coast with another edition of Fit Fridays. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. An update on Michigan State and Ohio State. This one looks to be a dogfight between the Spartans and the Buckeyes. Right now, I'm looking at 16:45 left to play, second half. Michigan State down by 1 point, 40-39. Matt McQuaid at the line, so I'm assuming, you know, he just made his first one to make it 40-39, and oh, he just tied it. Okay, so it's now tied at 40 with about 16 minutes left to play. So Michigan State right now and Ohio State, this one may go down to the wire. Some stats to pass along to you all when it comes to this game. It looks as though Keyshawn Woods has been the player balling out for the Buckeyes. He's leading the Buckeyes now with 10 points. Behind him, you have Andre Wesson, who has 9 points. And then you have Caleb Wesson, his brother, with 7 points. So the Wesson brothers also chipping in. For Michigan State, Matt McQuaid is the leading scorer. He is tied. Well, no. Foster? Am I reading this right? Foster Lawyer? He's leading the team in scoring.
He's on fire, Al.
This is crazy. This is kind of crazy right now. A Foster Lawyer off the bench for Michigan State. As you noted earlier this hour, Connor, yeah, Foster has 3 threes. He's got 9 points and is leading the Spartans in scoring. Behind him, you have Matt McQuaid and Cassius Winston, both with 8 points.
Also important, wow, we might be having a flagrant one, maybe a flagrant two.
Yeah, I see something's under review. Yeah,
it looks like I think it's Wesson just clocked Matt McQuaid in the back of the head with an elbow on while going up.
Oh wow!
I'll chime in your ear.
Looking here. I don't think that was vicious.
I don't think. Yeah, they'll probably do what they did with Nick Ward, probably give him a flagrant one. But I mean,
they will. Yeah, knowing college basketball and how soft it is, they'll give him a flagrant one for that. You just can't be swinging your elbows. That's just how it is. All right, man, this is a good game. I know what I'm doing. As soon as 2 o'clock hits, I'm running to my office to watch this game. Okay, we do have Johnny on. We do have Johnny Lewis on the show right now. Johnny joins us each and every Friday to give you a tip to continue those fitness goals that you set to usher in the new year. That is 2019. We call it Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. Johnny, how you doing, my man?
Hey, how's it going, Al? I'm doing pretty good. I actually forgot about the daylight savings time.
Right.
Because, you know, Arizona doesn't change. So I'm like, hold on, the show's starting early today.
Right, exactly, because, you know, with the time change, and again, we've missed out on an hour of sleep since Sunday
which it's not great. But looking at it, and I don't know why we have daylight savings time anyway. I think they're actually trying to pass a vote to do away with it. But it does give us one more hour of sunshine, which is oh so needed here in gloomy Michigan. So, but thank you so much, Johnny, for joining us for another Friday. Let's start with your tip in the gym. And I know you want to talk about the game of basketball and why it's so beneficial, right?
Oh, yeah. In the spirit of the Big Ten tourney and March Madness, I figured, why not? You know?
I love it. I love it, man.
So, yeah, I want to talk about how basketball is one of the best workouts for you. Look at the players. I mean, they're all in shape. You don't really come across too many overweight basketball players, right?
Yeah.
You know, not in college or the NBA level. So I think basketball is so great because it's a excellent form of cardio. A lot of people ask me, what are some other forms of cardio, because they hate running or they hate biking or going into the treadmill. And a lot of people I train and friends, and they love basketball, so I always suggest, why don't you just play basketball before or after your workouts for your cardio, you know?
Right, right. So that's great. And I wish my gym had a basketball court to do that, because, you know, I'm a hoop junkie, man. I haven't played a pickup game in a long time. But one thing I always notice, Johnny, is that especially when you haven't played for a long time and then you do go out there and you play pickup ball for a couple of hours, I mean, you'll wake up that next morning and muscles are worked out that you haven't worked out in a long time, even if you are a gym rat. I usually wake up really, really sore that next morning.
Exactly. And basketball is in both of our elements. Growing up, I'm sure that was one of our number one sources of cardio. So now that we're older, you know, we don't play as much. So when we do play, you know, we feel it a little bit more.
That's true. That's very, very true. But, yeah, like you said, so it's great for your cardio. Your legs also get a really good workout, don't they, Johnny?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you're constantly jumping or squatting down when you're defending, or, you know, you're getting that plyometric, and that's the jumping workouts, isometrics when you're defending or posting up at the rim. There's so many benefits. There's I think it's actually a full-body workout. You're working out all of your muscles when you play basketball. The stopping and going is good for your agility and short breaks. And there's just so many benefits to it. And like I said, that's why when you play basketball and you see these players out there, they're all in really, really good shape. So
definitely,
I want to highlight and make sure that people do not forget about the fun cardios like basketball. If you happen to be Al Jordan.
That's right, Al Jordan, baby. Exactly,
yeah,
man. It's a fun way for people like me, like Al Jordan, who hate running and just running to run to get in shape. You know, why not go out there and grab a basketball and like you said, Johnny, have some fun with it. I love it, man. All right, you have an interesting pasta now that you want to tell us about.
Oh, yeah, so I wanted to talk about protein pasta, because I've been taking a break from all the carbs. So I recently bought protein pasta made from chickpeas, and it's low carbs because it's completely made out of chickpeas, and it tastes just like normal pasta. So the other day I made a pasta using regular pasta sauce, so spaghetti sauce, but I use ground turkey meat and the noodles, and it was immaculate. It tasted just like normal pasta, and I was so surprised. So
wow.
I can't remember the brand. When I get the brand, I'll give you the name of that brand, and you can maybe leave it in the comments under. But it's a great source of protein. I believe it was 21 grams of protein per serving.
Wow. Man,
so
and chickpeas.
A lot more than normal pasta.
Pasta made out of chickpeas.
Yes. And I know it sounds bizarre.
But it was good, though. That's the main thing. It was good.
It was very, very good. Very, very good. I wouldn't have even known that. If someone made that for me, I wouldn't have known that it was not normal pasta.
That's great stuff. And you know, it being protein pasta and having that much protein in it, I mean, and you touched on protein last week. Those two conversations go hand in hand. That's awesome.
Right, right. So I definitely recommend giving it a try. If you go to the grocery stores, I'm sure you can find it, at least in the healthy grocery stores. you can find a protein pasta alternative. There's not just chickpea. They have all different kinds, like black bean, quinoa. They have all different kinds of pasta, but the chickpea was surprisingly good, so I recommend it.
All right, man. Another edition of Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. Johnny, thank you so much for your time, man. Go enjoy the game now, all right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Go green and stay blessed, Al. Thank you.
You got it, man. Anytime. We'll talk to you next week, brother. Okay, as we close out the hour before Connor and I go sprint to our respective TVs and check out the final minutes of this game, what have you seen, Connor? You have been... You could care less what I've been talking about on the air this hour, and you've been glued to the television. Can you give us an update on what you've seen?
Foster Lawyer is on fire. He
really?
Hit 4 for 20 on the year. He is 4 for 4, all threes. One of those was what looked like it was an NBA three. Al, you need to say players aren't ready more often, because you've been... You need any other MSU players you wanna give a reverse jinx to? I mean, this is great.
See, you caught what I've been trying to do here. All right, kind of reverse psychology at its finest. Foster Lawyer, 4 of 4 right now, all from three, as Connor just said. He's got 12 points. He is leading the Spartans right now. This is much needed help for a quite drained Cassius Winston.
And Cassius is on the bench, so Foster is leading the team right now. It's pretty fun to watch. And he just pulled up, hit another one. He is 100%. He's absurd.
He just hit another three?
He just hit it was a mid-range fade.
Wow. This is crazy stuff. So Michigan State is up, what,
47-40.
Enjoy.
14 minutes.
Enjoy the game. If Michigan State wins, if they win today, and they win tomorrow, I'll be in Chicago covering the Big Ten Championship game. We'll see what happens, folks. But in the meantime, have a great weekend. And as always, be easy, people.